He's there in the first chapter of Genesis. Let us make men in our image. He's there in Genesis 3, where Eve is told that one of your lineage will stomp on the head of the serpent. He is at the end. The bridegroom is a great saga. Have you ever looked at a map of America? There's a particular map that I'm referencing that would indicate that there's a part of the country that knows this story better than others. We all have a common, you'll recognize the name it's been given, the Bible Belt. Well, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but when you depict, when faith is demographically displayed on this map, and you have, yes, the Bible Belt, did you ever notice that there's this little piece of Bible Belt that's disconnected from the rest, and it shows up right over here? You know what we call that? San Juan County. It may include McKinley a little bit, I'm not sure. But it's there. And when we travel through this town, we see a bunch of places that are remembering the story. We call them churches. And it would appear that this grand saga is well known all over this community. I mean, goodness, it's hard to throw a rock in this town, not land close to a church. Because there's a lot of churches that don't have a building necessarily. There are a bunch of house churches. But there's another demographic map. I don't know if it's so much a map, but I would call it data. That indicates to us today that about 46% of us do not attend worship, are not actively engaged. There's strong reason to support the understanding that 15 to 20% of the population of our community that aren't even nominal Christian. The story is not theirs. They don't know the saga. They had no sense of being part of it. As a matter of fact, few of them have a sense of belonging to any real saga, a long story of having a heritage, of having a sense of belonging. Rather, they feel isolated. They feel alone. And they feel that their chapter is a bitter one. And then, sadly, we have places that once worshiped Christ, but now give witness to such a diluted gospel, it has no power to bring salvation. They've quit telling the fullness of the story. They don't believe that a true transformation is possible. They just simply believe that, it's just about love. And so we're gonna accept everyone and everything. Isn't that what grace is? Then they haven't really paid attention to the story. Because Jesus went to the cross to die. Because we're sinners. Every one of us. And we need him. That's our story. And unfortunately, sometimes we stick to it. Paul said, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ for the sake of you Gentiles." Prisoner. Who or what is holding you as prisoner? You know, it'd be great. I mean, it wouldn't be great, but it'd be easy to say, well, you know, we'll just use the S word, sin. But friends, there's other things that hold us prisoner. There's our sin, yes, but there's also our fear. There's things about our past that we hold on to. When God has said, I've taken care of that. There's things about our future. What are we bound to that if we let it go, we'd be free to walk with Christ as he directs us, not only individually, but as a church. And being a prisoner meant what for Paul? Well, it meant that, gosh, he suffered. It's not like he got 3 square meals a day in that prison. This was not the Hyatt. Are you bound to Christ? Does he hold you? Do you hold on to him? Then you will want to, like Paul, be intentional about sharing this story. Because it's through sharing this story that you not only declare your freedom, but you make possible somebody else to hear that they can be free. And Paul says, Look, you. There are these unsearchable riches of salvation that is yours. And they are, and it's worthy of us to share them. It's not technical. It's not deeply theological necessarily. It's only a forthright narrative of how you came to know Christ, the living God, how he came to you and met you where you are. It's just a sharing of what's going on in that relationship today. Now, if you feel like you don't have something to say there, then maybe you need to do a little heart research, because there's a reason for that. I would ask, what will be our saga's next chapter? By our, I mean Riverstone. You know, do you realize we have a special moment coming up? Thank you. We're going to be 150 years old. 150 years old. Now, I'll let you down a little bit. You are not my oldest congregation. But friends, my oldest congregation was back in the hills and woods of North Carolina. And was established in 1836. They had a bit of a jump on you. But we're going to be 150. Maybe we ought to celebrate that. Well, the story that's found in this coming chapter, because we reached that 150 mark, I think that kind of opens a new chapter, I would think. I would think it would not be the end. It's the beginning. We find ourselves in the middle of this saga. And I think that in this chapter, we might find a people who are determined to overcome their fears and their doubts and even their comforts to share the mystery of Christ, to share His story. And I would pray that that would be who we are. Now, I recognize, and I would join with you in saying that there are some who are weary. There are some who will have to be intentional about establishing a relationship with the one who is not already a part of the story. By that I mean you have to be intentional about connecting with people beyond these walls to share the story. I mean, do you realize that there was this fella who came here 150 plus years ago to share the gospel? He came on horseback. He was another blooming Texan. But he came, and the only thing he had in his saddlebags was an extra shirt and a Bible. And maybe, if he was really somewhere schooled and just a little, he might have even had a copy of some of Wesley's sermons. But that was it. And he came, and he began to share the story here. And a church eventually became to be established. Now, here's the part you may not know. That was the first one here. I think we have a grand heritage, a great story, and we've been given it to share. Whom will we share this precious story about God's grace? Who needs to know that Christ would give them this glorious inheritance, that they would be members of His body and partakers of the covenant of promise of divine fellowship with God? Paul said, I've been given this administration, this stewardship, to share this story. Well, so have we. So how will we begin this new chapter? Let me ask you. First, have you come to that intersection between Christ's story and your story and seen that what Christ has done for you and you have received Him as your Savior and Lord? Second, would you determine to be bound to Christ to share His love and grace that's revealed in this divine saga? Third, would you join with me in prayer as we seek the Holy Spirit's guidance and power that we might effectively share the story here? For as I've already mentioned, there are plenty who do not know it. Would you set your mind and heart to be attentive to them? Those around you, those across the street, those down the street, those you pass in the aisle that don't know the story. Pick up on the clue, on the cues. We pass by them every day. We do, and we see the sadness in their eyes. We see the weight on their shoulders, and we avoid them. God forgive us. Oh, that we should tell the story and be faithful. Will you join in doing that? If you would, will you stand with me this morning? Y'all are slow. If you would you stand with me this morning? Lord Jesus, a long time ago, before the world was established, you and the Father agreed there would be a time that you would come. We have been benefited by the gifts received through the telling of the story. We pray that you will equip us for this work, that you embolden us, and as you, Holy Spirit, that you would set our hearts aflame to the glory of God. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.